Good evening. Welcome back to the Lord's Church on this evening. We appreciate so very much you taking the time to honor God. We pray that his richest blessings be on all of us. On this morning, we looked at the thought of God bragging on us. And in that discussion, we considered the great man of Noah and also of Job, and the many challenges that they had during their lifetime. In fact, we looked at the fact that Noah, during his time, was a man that lived with men's evil thought was continued, and we learned that he had to build something, and of course he built the ark. And then we looked at Job in his lifetime and how God had blessed him from the very beginning, but then with a conversation took place between God and Satan, Job was tempted, and the Bible says he was tempted without sin. And we learn from his life and the story we have there that one must endure. So Noah was the builder, and Job was the one that had to endure. But tonight we want to look at part two of our lesson, which is the concept of finishing. And as both Noah and Job completed their challenges, there is one who is the greatest finisher of all time. And that person is none other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. We find him in his life that he lived throughout the Bible that we're going to discuss going forward, that Jesus Christ was one, the only one can do what he did. And God, our Father, loved his Son so much, and God bragged on Jesus as well. But just as we learn in Noah and Job, those challenges that came when God bragged on them in their day, the fact that God bragged on Jesus too had great challenges to overcome. So let's look at our Lord and look at some scriptures going forward as to Jesus Christ and who he really is and how God chose to brag on him. In Matthew chapter 17, starting at verse number 1, we'll read through verse 5. We'll find this, where the Bible says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" The Bible says at verse number 5, "While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I well please, hear him.'" This is an example of the Bible showing that Jesus Christ is above all. Though Moses was a great man of God, though Elijah was a great prophet of God, neither two or anyone else was greater than Jesus Christ, our Lord. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented all the prophets. But in the end of this verse in Matthew 17, verse 5, God's instruction was to listen to Jesus. He is the one that we are to follow. He is the promised one, the one that we've waited from the very beginning. We find also in Genesis chapter 3, and the verse is 15, over where this time where man and woman was created, they had were given their instructions of what not to do and what they could do, but the very thing they were told not to do, they did. And over at verse number 15, we will find that now God is going to administer punishment to the woman, also to the man, but also to Satan as well. And when we get to verse number 15, we will find that God is saying to Satan, he says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The Bible is telling us from the very beginning, before things even started, that Jesus was going to be the finisher. He is the great finisher that we've been waiting for, you see, because he was told that Satan will bruise his heel, but Jesus is going to send a crushing blow to the head of Satan. Therefore, again, we look and we see, before it all got started, man and his struggles to come, that God had already made provision for man to be saved, and that is to be saved through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We go on and look at John chapter 1 as we continue to make the case for Jesus Christ being the greatest finisher of all time. We find that the Bible says over in John chapter 1, starting at verse number 1, here the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which giveth light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is the Word that was there in the beginning. Jesus Christ is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the one that we've been waiting for, the full of grace and truth. Jesus is the light that the Bible was speaking of. We find that Jesus was there with God in the beginning. There lies the power of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ was not created. He has always been and always will be. But you notice in verse number 18 of John chapter 1, here's what the Bible says as we continue. "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." God declared Jesus. He is the one, you see, and he was very proud of his Son. Let's continue to make our case as we look to Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We find that Jesus, as the Bible says, humbled himself. And because he humbled himself, the Bible says that God highly exalted Christ. He, again, was very proud of his Son, Jesus. And why not? Jesus did everything that his Father instructed him to do. Jesus told us on many occasions, "I've come not to do my will, but the will of my Father." So we find that God was very pleased with his Son. But remember what we said, as we said on this morning, whenever God will brag on us, whenever God is proud, it usually means that there's going to be a challenge that's going to come. It was the case again in Noah. It was the case in Job. And it will be the case in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as well. Jesus Christ is everything. Everything hinges on Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 and the verses 8, Jesus himself would tell us concerning him. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You see, Jesus was the beginning, Jesus was the end, and everything in the middle. Jesus, you see, is, he was, is to come, the Bible says, the Almighty. There is none like Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can come to this earth and do what he did. That's why he is the ultimate finisher, you see. He is the finisher of our faith. None like Jesus Christ. But when we begin to look at God and God begins to brag, sometimes you have to have the ability to finish. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ, our Lord, did. But make no mistake about it. When Jesus came to do his work on this earth, he was not powerless. Jesus had all the power that he needed. And at any time, he could have refused. He could have quit. And if he had done so, there'd be no salvation from this world. But we know because he is faithful, because he loved us so much that he was willing to die on the cross for the sins of this world. But think not that Jesus was not in control of those things that's being done to him. Though evil men came and lied on him and spat on him and did all these evil things, Jesus was in control. Look at Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse number 53. And let's hear what Jesus has to say. This is the time that he was in the garden. He was being betrayed. They have come to take him away. And Jesus said this at Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 23. He says, or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Jesus said, don't think that I cannot end this. Don't think that I cannot pray to my Father. He will send me 12 legions of angels. I looked up legions and I found out in the Roman army, a legion can be anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers. Let's take the top end and say 6,000. Jesus said he can call on his Father, as the Bible says, and send more than 12 legions. If we took 12 legions, that's 6,000 times 12, that's 72,000 angels. And the Bible says more than 72,000 could have come at Jesus' request, and it all could have been ended. Never let man think they've done anything to destroy Jesus. It was according to God's will. It was according to what needed to be done, as he said, to fulfill the scriptures. But Jesus never lost control of this situation. Why? Because he was part man, and he was also part God. He was part divine, and therefore, he never lost control of it. Think not that I cannot pray to my Father, he said, and he will send me 12,000 legions of angels. But we begin to look and continue to look at the life of Jesus. The Bible says in Mark chapter 14, starting at verse number 32, here's what the Bible says. Jesus, again, is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is there and he is lonely. His time has come. He began to have conversation with some of his disciples, you see, and want them to stay and to be awake and to watch. But the Bible says at verse number 32 of Mark chapter 14, the Bible says, then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, James, and John with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. The Bible says in verse 35, he went a little farther and fell on the ground and prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Jesus could have ended it right there. Don't think that the Father, who is looking down at his only begotten Son, who is praying up to him, saying, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but your will. It shows again the love of God. It shows the love of Jesus Christ and what they were willing to do for you and I. That's why we ought to love God. That's why we ought to love Jesus, because they did not have to do what they did, but they did it because they love mankind. So you begin to look at Jesus. He is saying, Father, you can do all things. All things are possible to you. And if you want, you can take this cup away from me. What are you saying? I don't have to go through this. I don't have to die. The Bible is saying that, you know, I could end this right now. But Jesus is a finisher. He came to this earth to finish his work. And I thank God for him, as you should as well, that he was willing to go through and to die on the cross for the sins of this world. There is none like Jesus Christ, the ultimate finisher. He came to do his will and he carried it out. The Bible goes on to say in John, the chapter is 19 and the verse is 30. As we look at Jesus again being the finisher for us, the Bible says at John chapter 19 and the verse is 30, the Bible says as he stood, he is now on the cross. Our Lord is dying. They still have made mockery of him. But the Bible says at verse number 30, so when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The Bible says, Jesus said, it is finished. What is finished? My work is finished. All that I have set out to do, you see, is now finished. He is the ultimate finisher. And Jesus, we can thank him for being who he is. You see, when God brags on you, there are times that you have to usually do something. Jesus, as great as he is, the Son of God, came to this earth. He had to finish his work, and he certainly did. So we ask the question with us, do we really want God to brag on us? Are we willing to take the challenges of life as we looked at in the lives of Noah, Job, and our Lord Jesus Christ? You see, people claim that they want God to be proud of them and to say all these things and perhaps brag on them, but it usually means that there is work to be done. We need to understand that going forward. When God brags on you, sometimes you have to build, like Noah built the ark. When God brags on you, sometimes you have to endure, like Job had to endure in his life. When God brags on you, sometimes you have to finish, like Jesus finished his work that he was sent to this earth to do. We need to understand in our lives as children of God that after we become Christians, the work is not over, but it's just beginning for us. We need to understand that we need to build, we need to endure, and we need to finish. If I had to sum up this morning lesson along with tonight's lesson and had to give you three words to consider to carry forward with you throughout the course of this week, it will be these three words: build, endure, finish. We are to build on our faith. We are to endure hard times. We are to finish our race or finish our course. We must finish. Anybody can start, but very few can finish. We're in this life, you see. We have started that journey. The most important thing for you and I to do is to finish. How do we finish? We die in the Lord. Let no one take you away from the Lord. No matter what may come in this life, no matter what you may have to endure, no matter what you may have to build, never stop serving God. We must finish this race that we had. If we are here tonight and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become a child of God. Yes, we want God to be able to brag on you. We want God to be able to be proud of you, you see, as we're in the place where he wants us to be. A person that wants to come to God needs to understand that he needs to hear the word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is, and has rewarded them that diligently seek him. Then one must repent of their sins. Luke chapter 13, the verses 3, Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then we need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10, the verses are 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you for my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. Then we all need to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then we all need to remain faithful. Just as we talked about on tonight, being faithful means that you're going to finish. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 2, the verses 10, it tells us to hang in there. Do not quit, you see. Yes, some will be cast into prison. But hold on, you see, be thou faithful to the end, and we will receive that crown of righteousness. That's what a person needs to do to be saved. That's what a person needs to do to remain saved. But if you're here this morning, you're a child of God, and you have not finished, and perhaps you have gotten off course, now is the time for you to get back on course, you see. Come down the aisle and ask the saints to pray along with you. God will forgive you because he is just. Get yourself back on the right path, you see, so that we can go on and continue to live our lives, not only for ourselves, but reaching out to this world and letting them know that there's a loving God, there's a loving Savior who've done so much for you and I, and that they too can be saved. If you're here tonight or you need a prayer or you know someone it is, why don't you come as together we stand and sing the invitational song.